Polish. Welcome to another edition of the Joe Polish Superstar Audio Tape Series. Today, this is going to be an excellent interview. I've got on the line a great person I have a lot of respect for, Mr. Robert Allen. Let me give you a little bit of background. Robert Allen's colossal number one bestseller, Knocking Down, established him as one of the most influential investor advisors of all time. In his following best-selling books that he wrote, Creating Wealth and the Challenge, Robert expanded on his highly profitable techniques and philosophy. Throughout the 80s, graduates of his popular nationwide seminars successfully applied these techniques in all 50 states and Canada. Today, there are thousands of real estate millionaires who attribute their success to their contact with Robert Allen. He's a popular television and radio guest. He has appeared on hundreds of programs, including Good Morning America and Larry King Live. He has also been featured in such national publications as the Wall Street Journal, Newsweek, Barron's, Money Magazine, and Reader's Digest. For the unfolding 90s, Mr. Allen has created an intensive hands-on apprenticeship program, The Wealth Training, which he delivers in major cities nationwide. He is headquartered in San Diego area, where he lives with his wife, Daryl, and their three children. So how's that for an introduction? That's about the only thing you're going to hear me read today. Can you hear me okay, Bob?
I can hear you fine, Joe.
Excellent. Give the listeners a little bit of background about currently, I want to talk about what you've done in the past and just the millions of people that you've taught your techniques to and things, but this tape is going to be about success and what it takes to be successful. So currently, what insight did I leave out and what are you currently doing now to give the listeners some background about what you're all about?
Well, I think I'm going to identify with your listeners because I think everybody who's listening to this call right now wants to be a great business person who wants to create lifetime streams of income from their current efforts. They want to get wealthy. They want to be financially free, and that's certainly what I wanted to be when I graduated from college and stumbled into the field of real estate sales. I was a real estate salesperson for a while, then an investment advisor, helping people buy investment properties, and then buying a whole lot of real estate myself. And that led me to writing this silly book, Knocking Down. I had no idea it'd be a large best-selling book, but it turned out to be the largest real estate book in history. In the entire decade of the 80s, of all the books that were published on any subject, from health to sex to celebrity to diet to whatever you can imagine, Knocking Down as a hardcover was the number 11 bestseller of the entire decade of the 80s. And we taught seminars and, newsletters and all those kinds of things. I bought lots of property. And you probably might have heard me. I bet some of your listeners actually probably were students or graduates of one of my real estate seminars, a weekend seminar called Knocking Down, How to Buy Real Estate with Little or No Money Down. We're not here to talk about, the real estate per se, but how you take your dreams and your goals and your desires and create some financial freedom for yourself. So I can lend some subject matter there from both ends of the spectrum. I want your listeners to know that I understand all ends of the financial road, from all the many potholes there are there to the super fast highways and freeways. I've been through bankruptcy. I've made millions of dollars net in a year. So, I've covered all ends of the spectrum, and I want not a single one of you to think that I don't understand exactly where you're at. Well, our goal here in the next hour is for your financial future to be brighter, to be stronger, to be more assured. And, Joe, I just got to hand it to you. I think what they're doing by listening to this series of tapes on a regular, ongoing basis, and you're providing for them all the tips and the clues and the secrets that will really, really take them quicker and faster with a lot less failure to what they really want. So, Joe, I know you spend an awful lot of time with this, and you're a great support and great, give great advice and great techniques and great strategies to your clients. I gotta take my hands off to you.
Thank you, I really appreciate that.
My hands off, take my hat off. My hat off to you, sir.
Hey, I'll take your hands any day of the week. Well, following up on that, I want to tell the listeners, I think you're an exceptional marketer, and a lot of people that come into this funnel and get a hold of tapes like these and my interview tapes, they are in the marketing business, and they initially found out about me through marketing, and through my process of learning how to go from a dead broke struggling carpet cleaner into learning how to turn that business around and in turn teaching thousands of people how to take their businesses and succeed. I learned a lot of that from you. You were one of the first people that I attended a success seminar about. So
that was a 3-day course, I think, in Del Mar, California. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I charged up my credit card and I went to that, and it was some of the best money I've ever spent, and I've learned a lot from you, so I appreciate that. And I must say that anyone that does take the time to listen to tapes and improve themselves, they're the ones that are successful. successful. And the people that are not willing to do that, they're the ones that don't get results. Well, let's start with why do you think you had such a phenomenal success with that silly book that you mentioned that you wrote? I mean, what was it about the message or something that caused millions of people to go out and purchase that book and many to transform their lives?
Well, it was a conjunction of a lot of very fortuitous things, such as the baby boomers wanting real estate and the inflation of the late 70s and the early 80s. Everybody, jumping on the bandwagon in terms of real estate. Mostly it was because the baby boomers were coming of age and they wanted a home for themselves and their families, and then they wanted to make a little bit extra money. So it hit at the exact right time. Interest rates had been extremely high in the early 80s, and it was difficult for people to buy properties, and so it just went to the top of the bestseller list. So in addition to that, there was the marketing pieces. I did my challenges. I feel a lot of people are very skeptical about brand new ideas when it comes to nothing down real estate. They probably were a little more skeptical, and so I said, just send me to any city, take away my wallet, give me a $100 bill, and in 72 hours I'll buy an excellent piece of real estate using none of my own money. The LA Times happily and luckily took me up on that challenge. They called me on the phone and said, let's do it, and we hope to ruin you through this process. Because we don't think you can pull it off, and we're tired of your boastful claims. And so they took me to San Francisco, dropped me in the city, and 2.5 days later, I had signed up contracts for 6 pieces of real estate, eventually a 7th, $722,715 for the property. I did it on a $100 bill. That means that you had to live in the San Francisco for $100 for 3 days. You try that any day of the week.
Wow.
And I gave the reporter $20 back. In other words, it really launched me. And I know, Joe, you talk to your clients about the importance of publicity and the importance of advertising, the importance of doing marketing. Well, that was a piece of publicity that was probably one of the most successful money-generating pieces of publicity. It didn't cost me anything. They flew me up to San Francisco and gave me the $100 to live there. So it was free for me, but it produced a one-page, front-page financial section, the LA Times article, that said, buying homes without cash, : boastful investor accepts Times challenge and wins. And it showed pictures of all the 7 properties. It showed the hour-by-hour discussion of exactly how we did what we did. And then that was picked up by the Times Syndicate all around the United States. I've since really adopted that as my publicity theme. For instance, I did a challenge in St. Louis where I said, send me to any unemployment line. Let me select someone who's out of work and discouraged. And in 2 days' time, I'll teach that person the secrets of wealth. And there are secrets. And in 90 days, they'll be back on their feet with $5,000 cash in the bank, never to set foot in an unemployment line again. We did that challenge. That was very successful. I wrote a book about that. And then we picked 3 people off the line, and all of them, performed. And one of them made $100,000 in the next 12 months. And then I did a challenge with Regis Philbin and Kathy Lee on their show, and they picked me to come in and select somebody out of the studio audience and see how quickly they could make money. And 90 days later, we were back on the show after having selected a studio member, an audience member. Pat Watson was her name, and she made $25,000 in 90 days. So I've always believed that you should make outlandish claims and then follow through on them.
I agree. That's one of the best things I like about you. I remember seeing you speak once, and you were talking about, why be normal? Who wants to be normal? Then you jump up screaming, be abnormal. And, I mean, what you're talking about here is basically you created a model that worked, making a challenge. And, of course, what I think all the listeners need to be aware of the fact is that you had a pretty good idea you could pull it off. You had leverage.
Well, Joe, I hate to disappoint you there, but
maybe you didn't.
Well, I didn't. On the first challenge, I had no idea.
Really?
No, I was scared out of my mind.
Wow, that's okay. This is very interesting.
And for 24 hours, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. It was the most horrifyingly frightening experience of my life.
Wow.
I bought the first property. It took me about 26 hours to buy the first property, and then I relaxed because I fulfilled the agreement. And then I said to the reporter, hey, we could quit, but, which is a better story? Guy buys one house or guy buys 7 houses? And since he lost the challenge, he said, well, the best story would be the Morehouses. I mean, beat me bad. You know, don't just beat me, you know, beat me up. So that's what we went for, and of course it was a spectacular story, made his career, the reporter, but he had really told me he wanted to see me fail. He wanted to chronicle the failure, the burning up in flames. What's the next question, Joe?
Well, I mean, what I think could be learned from that, though, is you basically, you had an idea, and this is about courage. I mean, you just put it on the line, and you went out there, and you said, hey, I'm gonna attempt to do this, and you launched a very successful business because of that. And
yeah,
I think
it became the really genesis of the seminar business. We were running ads all over the United States to do our Nothing Down seminars, but this launched the book onto the top of the bestseller list, and it stayed there for a couple of years. That challenge and the subsequent challenges that I did were the reasons that Nothing Down and all my other books have done extremely well.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of goes to what I was talking to Gary Halbert about when he mentioned one, you know, Gary Halbert, a good friend of both of ours that we both know, a very bright marketing guy. You know, he's heard you say, you know, doing feared things first. And I was going to ask you about that later on in this interview, but I think this is a perfect time because I'd like you to make the analogy of how all of this is instructional and how does it apply to other areas of life and entrepreneurship and, you know, business other than real estate. I mean, there's a lot of messages hidden within everything that you've done, and I'd like you to maybe elaborate a bit on that. I mean, you actually got up and you did something that you were,
well,
you know, not sure of and scared of.
You bet. Fear is a great leveler. People who are able to attack fear get all they want. And the lakes where all the great fish are always outside of the reach of the average person. They're always behind some cliff somewhere, and you've got to climb it.
Uh-huh.
And therefore, the people who climb the cliffs get all the big fish. And the people who don't climb the cliffs, they get the lakes where they're all fished out. And
gotcha.
So the fear is the real secret. We all have fear. You're afraid, I'm afraid, Joe, you're scared out of your mind most of the time. You're probably showing it in different ways. You might be cocky, you might, you know, be abrupt. I'm not saying you, but we all have different ways of showing our fear, but we're all pretty much running scared most of the time, and the real secret is just to attack that fear. So I think the best time management principle I could teach you is to always write your to-do list every day. And always write down the 20% of the things that give you 80% of your results. In other words, at the top of your list, always write those things that you know can really get you further along down the road. And then all the rest of the things you do, the 80% will only give you 20% of your results. You always put those at the bottom of your list and try to cut your to-do list into two pieces, the top part and the bottom part. Everything on the bottom means it's something I can procrastinate. Everything on the top is something I need to do immediately. And the secret to time management is to learn how to procrastinate. We all procrastinate, but most of us procrastinate the wrong things. We procrastinate the 20%, the things that really get us a long ways, because we're afraid. And we do the 80%, those things at the bottom of our list, because they're easier to do and there's less risk involved. They're funner, faster, simpler, easier to do. So we cross things off our list and we think we've done it. We think we've been successful. Well, frankly, a real successful person's to-do list doesn't have very many things crossed off it, because they're always working on the toughest, hardest things at the top of their list, and it's hard to cross those things off. We get addicted to crossing things off our to-do list because it feels so good to take that thing out of your life, when most of the time the things we cross off our list are things that didn't need to be done. They're worthless wastes of time. What you need to have is some really hard things to do at the top of your list that you're not crossing off, because they take weeks to do. They might take months to do. But when they do get finally crossed off, they get you $100,000 a year for the rest of your life. So when you get to the top of your list of the 20% of things that give you 80% of your results, you have to prioritize that list based upon what we call the feared thing first. In other words, go down that list and ask yourself, which of these scares me out of my mind? Rather than running from that, you need to do that. You need to do it first, because you know what happens. Most of us do our to-do list and leave those hard things until the end of the day. You know, and we say, we'll just cross some of this other stuff off. As soon as I get all these little gnats, these little mosquitoes, these little things out of the way, then I'll have more clear-mindedness to be able to tackle the tough stuff. Well, it just doesn't happen. We wait till the end of the day And we're just exhausted by that time. And say, well, I'll do that thing tomorrow. Well, you do your to-do list the same way the next day. You write down all your things to do. You start crossing things off, the ones that are easy and fast to get rid of. And you wait till the end of the day to get the tough stuff done, and it never gets done. So, you know, the secret is to do your feared thing first. And this gives you power. Because when you tackle a feared thing, like you go in and ask your boss for a raise, for instance.
Right.
You do it first, you know, because if your boss fires you, then at least you have the rest of the day to look for a new job. But if your boss says, okay, you know, then you know the rest of the day is gravy. If you wait till the end of the day to ask for that raise, then the entire day is wasted worrying about the thing you've put off. So you need to attack the tough ones, and that's a very hard habit to do. It also builds self-esteem and courage, because the secret to self-esteem is to do the things that you're afraid to do. If you want to lower your self-esteem, you need to teach this to your kids, too. If you run from what you fear, your self-esteem automatically goes down. If you face what you fear, your self-esteem automatically goes up. So if you have a habit of facing your fear first every day, you'll find that within 90 days, you're invincible. If you have the habit of looking for the tough stuff first, then eventually the tough stuff is easy because you're used to doing that. However, if you have a habit of running from your feared thing and putting that off to last, then it gets harder and harder and harder to do. And therefore you find yourself, shriveling in your courage and in your self-esteem. So that launched us into a 10-minute discussion.
No, I mean, I think that was great advice. I mean, that's very useful for me to hear. I can't imagine anyone listening to this tape not, really looking at how they spend their time. I mean, I agree with you. Most people take the path of least resistance because it's the easy thing to do. I think most people confuse, activity versus, accomplishment, and they focus on all kinds of things to, at least in their mind, think that they're doing something and staying busy, when in reality what they're doing is they're procrastinating the most important thing that's going to give them the biggest outcomes in their life. And I think that's very important. And if everyone listening to this tape just listened to a smidgen of your advice and started, looking at the things that are difficult to do and start focusing on the things that really can give them good results but are not the easiest things to do, then, I can't imagine them not dramatically improving the quality of their life and their incomes.
Well, it's not only, I think what you said is absolutely true, and I'll prove it to you. Because if you take 20% of the things that give you 80% of your results, all right? Mm-hmm. You heard that all your life.
Right.
That means that if 20% give me 80% of my results, that means I get 4-to-1 return on my money.
Right.
Now, if I do 80% of the things that give me 20% of results, then I only get 1/4 of 1 response. That's 0.25% if you're doing the math on this.
Yep.
So 0.25 divided into 400, or 1 for 4, is 16 times less effective. I went through that math pretty quickly, but the bottom line is, if I spend my time doing those 20% of the activities that give me 80% of my results, I am 16 times further ahead than if I did one of those weak activities, those 80% activities, and focused on those. Now, they did a study on that with Brian Tracy, I think, reported this. They found out that the top life insurance salespeople, the top 20%, made 15 times as much money as the people in the bottom 80%. And so they took the top 20%, divided that into the top 20%, and found out that those people made 32 times as much money as everybody below them.
Wow.
And they took the top 20% of the top 20% of the top 20%, which works out to about 1% of the people, and found out that they made 53 times as much money as everybody below them, as the 99% of the people below them, which means that if the people below are making $10,000 a year, these top 1% are making $520,000 per year. And the real secret to that is that these guys that are really good, that are the top 1%, I think, Joe, you're there, and you're trying to teach the people on this call to be in that top 1%. The reason is that you're focusing on the things you like to do, the things you're good at, the things that are important to you, and the things you're afraid to do, and which usually falls into that category of the 20% of the activities that you want to get done. And that will give you huge results, not just 10% better or 20% better, but if you'll do that, focus your business on that, you can earn 10, 15, 20, 50 times as much as the average service provider in your area. And I didn't really plan to talk about time management at all, but
I love it. I mean,
we ended up.
I think it's very good that we went into that area, because I think it's something that everyone challenges, and faces all kinds of problems with. I mean, including myself. And you're absolutely right. I mean, I don't consider myself that bright of an individual compared to many other people out there, other than the fact that I've learned what to focus on. And there's a saying that I have written on my wall that is delegate everything except genius, and I try to look at the things that I'm really good at, and I tried to do all those. And one time management technique that I think is really good that I've recently started doing is when I get really overwhelmed and I have a bazillion projects that are always staring me at the face, and I mean, you can tell who's doing things and who isn't. It's how busy they are. I mean, busy people are always trying to do things, and so in the process of running a business, you can get really busy at times, and it's hard to decipher what is the actual projects you should be working on. So what I've started doing is not only prioritizing them in terms of importance, but also I started attaching a financial figure to each to-do that I have to do and to each project that I'm working on. This one's worth $1,000, this one's worth $50,000. And obviously, when you start looking at it from that perspective, you can decide what you should be working on and what you shouldn't.
Right.
And
right.
So I very much appreciate everything that you just talked about, because it's probably some of the most important information that people need to hear. Because, having a great headline and a good ad is fine, but if you don't know how to really, focus on the important things in your business and what's going to bring you the most return, then, hey, that's just, that's just a bunch of marketing stuff with no foundation. So that was very good.
Joe, I know you've been involved in a program called the Strategic Coach, is that what it's called?
Yes.
And I've read some of the materials here. I'm going to take exception with something you just said.
Okay.
And it's something that they say, too, and I'm sure they could back it up. But I've recently shut down a seminar operation that I had. Actually, it was about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself with 250 employees and, a $30 million business growth that year, with lots of busyness and things like that going on. And I would delegate everything. I would delegate everything except genius. I would do what I would do the best. Today, I do just exactly the opposite of that, Joe. I'm in my home right now talking to you. I have zero employees. I make more money today than I did with 250 employees, and I delegate nothing.
I do it all. Tell me more.
Yeah, I do it all. If I delegate anything, it would be to outsource.
Right.
But I think that the things I've learned in the last 5 years, and maybe where we want to kind of pursue our the next part of our conversation, I believe in a concept called multiple streams of income.
Right.
In the 80s, I taught just the exact opposite of that. I taught focus. I said, you got to do what you do best, and you have to focus, and a man who chases two rabbits loses both. And I taught that for a lot of years, and I think it was because I wanted people to take my real estate seminars and nothing else. But I really, looking at what I taught and the way I lived my life, were really totally two different things. And for the way I lived my life was I had lots of things going on. I didn't focus on any of them. And the ones where I did focus an inordinate amount of energy, like the one business that we had, which had 250 employees, and really focused that business on only one thing. I said, we're going to do real estate seminars. Well, that's all we're going to do. We're not going to sell them anything else. Then that was a very strategically stupid mistake, based upon a principle, which is focus. And although my personal life, I had lots of things going on, my books and other things and other streams of income flowing in, when it came to my business activities, I only focused on that one thing. And I think that I'd like to teach your listeners right now the concept of multiple streams of income. You're probably focusing on your business right now, and you're probably spending 80 hours a week at it and wondering how you could ever do anything else. And I think that's a tragic and strategic mistake.
Yeah, well, let's talk about it. I like hearing your insight. Let me mention one thing, too, and you can give me some clarification on this, because it's always very beneficial for me to hear different sides to it. I mean, I always, I'm really, really clear with people that any time that you add employees and you add any type of obligation to your business, then as much as all the management gurus might want to tell you, you're going to have headaches. I mean, there are obligations that come with staff and delegates. delegating and things like that. Now, in my particular business, that's something that I've chosen to take on because the way I have it structured, and for many service people listening, you know, I don't want them to take out of context what you're saying and have them thinking that, for instance, if they're running the carpet cleaning business, then, you know, they need to be the one out there doing cleaning all the time. You can either outsource that or you can get staff and hire employees, which I would highly recommend in that situation. Now, with what you're about to get in talking to, there's one thing that, Brad Richdale, who I interviewed in the past tape, he said that there's, you know, two ways to duplicate yourself in business. There, you either do it through delegating or you do it through advertising. And I think what we're about to get into talking about, but what you're about to say is that, you know, you, for instance, you can replicate yourself without having employees. You can do it through direct mail letters. You can duplicate the replicate the sales process, and you can also replicate it by multiple streams of income by diversifying into many different things that could bring money into your funnel. Right. So with saying that, let's go on and give the listeners some advice on how you suggest from all the things that you've learned in the past that you've done wrong and the things that you're doing right, what should they do?
Well, let's take your core business, and obviously your core business is where you want to bring in most of your money.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the 20% of your activities that are going to give you 80% of your results or are going to provide the largest amount of cash flow for yourself. And you have to start from that basis to use the strategies you're teaching Joe to better manage their time, to better manage their employees, and to better manage their advertising and their marketing dollars. Okay, let's take that as a given, all right?
Okay.
And then let's start to, however, branch out from that and say that no matter what you're doing, that's not enough. And that may go against the grain of what some of the guys are listening to right now. They guys and gals, they may say, you know, I need to put everything I've got into that one business. Well, in the 80s and 90s, and well, in the 90s and in the year 2000 and beyond, you need to have multiple streams of income flowing into you, streams that come into you without you having to work very hard for them. And you're already working hard enough as it is, so you need to establish these supplementary streams. Let me just take the example of an entrepreneur. I was a real estate person, so I think it's very close to what some of your listeners were doing, focusing 100% on that. And I would say, well, why should I invest my money, the extra surplus money, in anything else when I can make so much money from my real estate? You know, I make 200-300% per year on my real estate sometimes. So why should I invest in something that's 10-20%, like a stock market or a bond or a mutual fund or something like that? That I would poo-poo or, you know, laugh at anybody that would be investing any of their efforts or time in anything that couldn't make, you know, serious income.
Right.
Serious money, serious rate of return. And you might have the same thing with your service business. You say, hey, I can do real well on some of the services I provide. I make a great amount of money. Why should I invest some of my money in passive things? Well, you just need to. Because if you're going to focus yourself 100% on your business, and your core business, if that business makes it, and you sell out 5 years from now, and you take your $5 million, what are you going to do with it? Give it to your brother-in-law and tell him to put it in the market for you? Heavens no. You'd be scared out of your mind. You wouldn't know what to do with your money, is what I'm trying to point out, because $5 million is not that rich. You put $5 million in the bank and at 3%, well, you're going to feel safe. And that's 3% times $5 million is $150,000 a year. Yeah, but that's before taxes. And, you know, after you knock off 40% for state and local taxes, you're down to, you know, $80,000, $90,000, and that's not rich. You know, that's not, you know, you got $5 million in the bank, and you're not going to feel rich. Now, if you get your money growing at 10 or 20%, now that's a different story. 10% on $5 million is $500,000. To $1 million a year in income that are flowing into you on a passive basis. Even after taxes, you're rich, you see. So you need to have strategies outside of your core business that you're practicing right now where you get the experience of having your money grow at anywhere between 10 and 20% rates of return.
Gotcha. So
and I think every person who's listening to this call right now needs to have the first stream of income. It's got to be some kind of a mutual fund, and you need to have $100, $200, $300, $500 pulled out of your bank account every single month and put into a passive mutual fund for the long term and forget about it. And don't watch the ups and downs of the stock market at all. Just forget about it. And that's going to force you to be much more economical with your dollars. So let me Let me show you what a dollar goes into when you have it growing at a passive basis like that. And we have a lot of entrepreneurs on our call right now who may be resisting this advice, but don't. Just do it. A dollar a day, at, if you were born, you know, if you have one of your children born a day, and you put a dollar a day underneath the mattress for that kid, by the time they reach retirement age, say 66 years from now, they have $25,000 under the mattress. That's at 0% interest.
Mm-hmm.
If they did it at 3% interest, then by the time they reach retirement age, they'd have $75,000. If they did it at 5% interest, this is a dollar a day. And there's anybody who's listening to this call can do this. A dollar a day at 5% interest will get you $200,000. Well, that's not that much. But at 10% interest, now we start getting interesting. Because a dollar a day becomes $2.75 million. 15% interest becomes $50 million at a dollar a day at 15%.
Wow.
And 20% at a dollar a day is $1 billion. Now, there's not anybody listening to this call who can't do between 10 and 20%. But what they're not doing is setting aside little amounts of money over a long period of time and forgetting about it. And therefore, you need to establish yourself on a smart basis from the very beginning to establish these extra streams of income with some surplus money. Now, everybody who's listening to this call can do that, and this is how you do it. The next time you go to the gas station to get gas, as is an example, you usually get premium. Well, don't get premium. Get regular. There's very little difference between the two, and most of it's wasted anyway. If you're leasing your cars, you don't care about them. You don't care about the car anyway, you know. So, you know, the difference between regular and premium, this sounds like a silly example, but think about it, is probably a dollar or two. You take, instead of just buying the gas at the discount, you need to take a dollar or two out of your pocket right there on the spot and put it into another pocket and say, I saved that money, I'm going to save it. Because most of the time, people don't save the money. They tell you they save it, but you ask a person, for instance, who just quit smoking, where's the money you saved? You know, you saved $50 because you weren't smoking last month. Where's the $50? And they don't know where it's at. They don't know because it just goes into their donut budget, I guess. I don't know. And in other words, they don't have the money. They didn't save it. They only saved it. And they don't see the result at the end of the month. Well, if you do that every time you try to get a bargain or try to save money, at the end of the month, you're going to have $100 in your pocket. I guarantee it. Because every one of us just throw away money right and left without even thinking about it. And at the end of the month, you've got $100. You put that in your mutual fund and you say, that's my long-term growth. And the secret to that is it's money that doesn't take time to grow. And that's your job as a beginning, you know, an entrepreneur, as an entrepreneur par excellence. You want to be the kind of entrepreneur that is doing things that don't require your presence. You want businesses that grow by themselves. Now, your core business as a service business means you got to provide service. And that means employees and time and effort and hassle. And therefore, if you're going to stay in that business, you have to be investing at least 10 to 20% of your time in things and businesses and in streams of income that don't require lots of effort on your part. You know, 5 years ago, actually it's been 6 years ago now, when, or even 7 years ago, when I shut down the seminar company, the reason I shut it down and I was in a service business was because I finally came to the realization that I only have so much time to be able to provide, you know, to create income. And if I was spending 100% of my time in this one business, had time for nothing else, then I was a slave to the business. That if I didn't speak, I didn't eat. And I finally said to myself, I need to find businesses that don't require my voice. As you can tell, my voice right now is a little crackly because I'm just coming out of a little laryngitis. And the bottom line is, when this voice goes out, you know, it's a $10,000 a day problem to me.
Yep.
So you need to find businesses that don't require your presence. And so I learned when I shut the company down, I made the first smart decision. I gave the company away to two people, to two of my partners, and I said, here, guys, you can have it. I'm not going to sell it to you. You can take it.
And all I want to do is to have you provide me a royalty now. And that means obviously from the use of my name and the use of my ideas and the use of my concepts, rather than me working at a business and taking all the risk of that business and having all of the time invested into it, I would rather cut my salary by 90% and have a 10% salary, and not in form of a salary, but in form of a royalty, and have that royalty flow into me and now free up my time, which is what I did automatically by making that one decision. I did cut my salary by 90%, but I also cut my time by 90%. And now I have that stream of income. These two streams of income were flowing in and didn't require any time on my part. And believe me, that was revolutionary for me. Then I said, I'm never going to get another business that requires a lot of my time. I'm never going to add another business to my life that doesn't flow into my life with only minimal effort on my part. And therefore, I started going through my life and asking myself the question, how can I add another stream of income that fits the criteria of what I call a money tree? So here's the money tree formula. M stands for multiple streams of income. You need multiple streams of income flowing into your life, whether it's through your business. And I think, Joe, you've been teaching them that they need to have multiple streams of income from their business, that they need to add new ways of bringing income streams into their business. And I'll let you talk about that in further tapes. You do great at that. I know you do.
Yeah, let me just mention one thing real quick. This is what Robert is saying to all the listeners is when I talk about doing host-parasite relationships, endorsement relationships, that's a great way to take your existing database and leverage it and make income without you physically.
More money out of it. And the kind of income that you squeeze out of those things, it's usually less time-intensive. See?
Yep.
If you got a restaurant, you know, most of the time you're working 90, you know, hours a week in your restaurant, but you need to add other streams of income, such as, isn't there a recipe in that restaurant that's a killer recipe that you could license to a restaurant across the country where they will not be competing with you, and you receive a royalty from the use of that recipe, you see?
Right.
Or isn't there a meal item, one of your food items that's in your restaurant that could be packaged and frozen or boxed up or sold in another way? Or isn't there a cookbook that could come out of there somewhere? Or you follow what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You need to add streams of income to your business using the criteria of time freedom.
Okay.
In other words, don't add another business to it. Don't add another 50 employees to do it. You need to add streams of income with that don't have any employees attached to it, because that's a dangerous thing in our world. So multiple streams of income is the first M. The O stands for you need an outstanding product, because any business today has to be the best. It has to be excellent. And, Joe, you spend a lot of time on that. You've got to provide the best service or you're going to be dead anyway.
Absolutely.
N stands for nothing down. You don't want to invest a lot of your money into any of these businesses that you add. If you're investing $50,000 or $100,000, forget it. You know, you have to get started on $2,000 to $5,000 at the most, because most of the time we don't have it anyway. So why even pick up ideas that cost lots? The E stands for employee resistant. You know, employees are dangerous. You know, you have one of those employees harass one of your secretaries, and guess who they sue? They don't sue the secretary, and they don't sue the employee. They sue the business, and that's you. And employees are walking time bombs.
Okay. Now, to all the people out there that have employees, I mean, what is there any advice that you could do you ever see a time when employees are necessary? Now, obviously, you know that I do, but do you see a time when there are employees necessary?
Joe, you want me to tell you the truth? The truth is, I don't even have a secretary because I'm paranoid. I don't.
I know.
Everything. I have zero employees. And frankly, I can't give any advice to your listeners. They'll find out for themselves.
Okay.
If they haven't already found out. Therefore, frankly, I just try to choose businesses and streams of income, if you're adding supplementary streams, that don't require lots of employees.
Yeah.
If it's going to take a lot of employees, then don't do it. Y stands for yield. You're not going to pick something that doesn't yield you a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
The T stands for trend. You need to pick streams that really fit within growing trends, not reducing trends. They have to be waxing trends, not waning trends.
What do you mean by that?
Well, a trend that fits within a baby boomer strategy. You know, things that baby boomers are going to be going towards. Money Magazine did a big article on that a couple years ago. For instance, it should be financial services or health or entertainment, technology, things like that. Not if you're adding a supplementary or one of these extra multiple streams to your life. You do have your core business. I understand that. And you need to watch that like a hawk. But you also need to add other streams because of the diversification that's necessary in today's world. You just got to be diversified. You don't buy one stock, do you? You don't put all your money in one stock.
Right.
You put your money into a mutual fund, a fund of hundreds if not thousands of stocks. You need to have in the future a portfolio of streams of income, all of them different, all of them diversified from totally different sources. Like I have about 7 or 8 big streams flowing into my life, but all of them are different. If one of them dies, I still have 6 others.
Yeah.
Some of them work better during downtimes. Some of them work better during up times. But I'll always have a portfolio of streams that are flowing in. And my advice to your listeners is they need to have their main stream, but they also have to have other streams. Back to our money tree formula, that T stands for trend. So if you're going to add another stream, make sure it fits the trend. Make sure it's a trend that's growing. And baby boomer businesses, if you focus in on that trend and you watch where the boomers are going, and put yourself in the front of the parade, act like the drum major, and they'll follow you, you know, because the baby boomers act en masse. And if you're actually operating in a business that's not with a baby boomer trend, you may have difficulty. The R stands for residual. Don't do anything that's not residual in terms of your supplementary streams. Residual means flowing to you without you having to be there. Okay? Now, money in a bank is residual. Interest on money in a bank is residual. It means it grows there without you having to be there to watch it.
Yeah, and I would add to that that in the case of having clients and customers in a business, that residual could be all the repeat business that they bring to you and all the additional purchases, of which could most of the listeners listening to this tape have businesses that could all be put on autopilot, exactly like you're describing.
Absolutely. Autopilot is a good operative word, exactly. Then the residual part is critical. Most people work at linear jobs. Linear meaning I have to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a salary is a linear thing.
Right.
And most businesses are linear. It means you've got to be there to watch over them. You know, you take your sandwich franchise, cost you $100,000 to get a nice good sandwich franchise, minimum, and then you got to be watching those people, your employees, for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You just bought a business where you're going to be managing teenagers. Wow, that's thrilling, isn't it? You know, so the bottom line is, when you choose a business to be a secondary business, don't choose a business that's a linear business. You are already in a linear business. So, you know, try to make your linear business more residual by adding residual streams to it, but try to add other businesses to your life that don't require you to be there. It might, at first, if you get them started and you get them rolling, it takes your time and effort. It may take 2 or 3 years of your time and effort, but the goal should be, at the end of 2 or 3 years, you walk away with a stream of income that's sent to your mailbox in Tahiti. You know, that's the kind of thing you're looking for. And we'll give you some examples of that here in a minute. Residual on Money Tree Formula. E stands for it's got to be essential to everybody every day, and that's the kind of business that's really critical.
Mm-hmm.
You try to choose businesses that not only fit the trend where the most numbers of people want it, but you try to choose businesses where the most numbers of people need it. It's essential to everybody every day. And the final E is you got to be enthusiastic about it. And if you're not enthusiastic, then you know you lose that little edge of specialty that makes businesses flourish. You know, if you really like what you're doing, it makes it a lot easier to do.
I agree. I think that's actually one of the most important things that you could tell people in terms of they got to like what they're doing. Well, Bob, I mean, you're giving us some really excellent ideas here, but let me ask you one question. I mean, because this conversation on this subject could go on for hours, and I want to ask you this one really important question before we get to the end of the tape. If you had somebody you love very much and you had a chance to give them, him or her advice only one time, what would you tell that person?
Well, it falls with just what we finished talking about, Joe. You got to find what you love to do, and that's what I call purpose. And purpose is it's a spiritual concept. Every one of us has what I believe talents, gifts, things that we brought with us when we came here. I don't believe we started here on this earth. I believe we existed long before we got here, and this is a testing ground. And when you came with certain genes and certain propensities and certain desires, and these are all part of your talent. And when I say purpose, I mean it's a conjunction of 4 basic characteristics about yourself. The first question you have to ask yourself is, what do I love to do? Because that's a talent. Mozart didn't have talent because he knew how to play the piano. He had talent because he was passionate about playing the piano. He would play it hour after hour after hour as a tiny kid. He was fascinated with the piano and the sounds and everything about it. It wasn't the fact that his fingers worked well. That's not it. Well, I don't think it was the fact that the notes came out of his head. It was the fact that he was just fascinated with that piano, and he just loved it, and that's what we call passion. And you got to find something you're passionate about. Now, some of you listen to this call are not passionate about what you're doing right now, and so you have to find something in that business that you can transfer your passion to, that you can become passionate about. For many years, I was passionate about real estate. I loved it. I mean, I lived and breathed it. I loved the negotiating. I loved the buying. I loved everything about it. And then I lost that passion. I really did. I lost it. I don't like to buy a lot of real estate anymore today. I just don't. But what I transferred the passion to was the fact of teaching other people how to do the same thing. And I was passionate about that for many years. And I'm passionate about teaching people how to become the best real estate investors they could be. I don't do that anymore either, because I lost my passion on that one. I do have licensees that still carry on in my name, using my concepts and using coaching. And, of course, if you want real estate, you know, I can be glad to point you in the right direction, and they give you fabulous advice and training because it's all my stuff. But my passion now comes in taking various businesses that are residual businesses and really building them and teaching people the concepts that we've been talking about today. Obviously, you can tell I'm pretty passionate about the stuff we've been talking about today.
Absolutely.
I'm passionate about finding ideas that work and then teaching the people. That really turns me on. So that's the first part of purpose. It's finding what you love to do, and sometimes you need to take what you're not. If you don't love what you're doing, you need to figure out how to do that. The second part is interests. What are you interested in? And you need to explore that. The third thing is, what are you good at? Because some of you have good talents. You're really good at things. You're good at your hands. You're good at with people. You're good in your relationships. You're good at marketing, whatever. You need to figure out what that is and focus on that. And then finally, what is your destiny? It's a really spiritual question, but, I mean, what does God want you to do with what you're doing? And I would believe most of the people who are listening to this call right now, Joe, are probably believing in some kind of a higher power. Well, what does that higher power want you to do with your life? And when you mix those four concepts together, you get what I call purpose. When you get up in the morning, you have purpose. You know, it's not a drudgery for you any longer, because you're motivating yourself from within. Now, Joe, if I were to take you and ask you that question, what is your purpose? Tell us, Joe, what's your purpose?
I think my purpose, and I thought about this last week. I was, because I teach people USPs, unique selling propositions, but to take it further than just like a business, motto or a mission statement, I personally feel my purpose is to figure out what works and what doesn't work in business for entrepreneurs, and teach them so they can avoid all the misery, the struggle, the heartache, the depression that so many business people that work their butts off, not getting any results every day. I teach them what actually works and what doesn't work, so they don't have to go through that. And so hopefully they can breathe easier and have a more successful life and a business in the process.
Well, you went through the same process yourself, didn't you?
Exactly.
Don't you wish you'd stumble onto you about 10 years earlier?
Exactly. The information that I sell is exactly what I wish had existed when I first got into my business, so I didn't have to go through all the crap that I went through in order to figure it out. I mean, everything you're talking about, what I'd be interested in knowing is how many millions of dollars did you not only have to make but lose in order to figure out this is the way I want to live my life?
Oh, well, tens of millions is what the answer is.
Yeah.
Tens of millions of dollars to be able to figure this out. And it was worth it. You know, today I live in a beautiful home. I work out of my own office. I have my own hours. I travel a lot less than I ever did before. I have streams of income flowing in automatically. And I spent a few hours a day at it, and that's it. It took me about $10 million to figure that out. But back to purpose, when you're listening to yourself talking about it, you're basically saying that your purpose, your mission, it's almost a spiritual thing. It's Joe was born to do this. And don't you kind of feel like that's what you were born to do? You kind of, you're falling into it now, aren't you?
No, it's true. I mean, I really think I have, not 100%, but I think I've really found my path. And I'm, and every day I spend refining it and trying to do a better job, because the more I can get in touch with what I'm here to do, the better job I can do at it.
And, but you spend hours and hours at it. I mean, you probably aren't working, any 3 hours a day.
No. I mean, I spend 12, 14, 16 hours a day most of the time, and, you know, a lot of the times I, you know, think, well, hey, this is a little obsessive, and I'm a workaholic, but another part of me, you know, I'd probably do this stuff if I wasn't getting paid for it.
That's the secret. The secret is, what would you do if you weren't being paid for it? And if you discover that, then people will pay you enormous amounts of money for it.
I agree.
Take Magic Johnson. I remember him saying, you know, did I play basketball if I never got paid a dime for it? It's his passion. And the tragedy of Magic Johnson is that he got that cut short, because now he can't do what he loves to do. He has to transfer that passion to something else now, which I guess he's figured out how to do. Now, everyone listen to our call here. You need to discover that purpose and make it part of your destiny, so that it becomes part of your mission, and not just a job and not just a daily grind, but something that really passionately motivates you. And if you get burnt out on that, then you need to transfer it. I've transferred my passion to, you know, lots and lots of different businesses, and I'm passionate for 5 or 6 years, and then I burn out. The thing I haven't done in the past is, when I burned out, I never was smart enough, at least in, you know, up until the last 5 years. But before that, I wasn't smart enough to transfer the burnout into a business or a stream of income that would flow forever. I would just burn it out, close the business down, go away, you know. Or I would sabotage the business so it would fail, so I wouldn't have to do it anymore, right?
Yep.
Today, I'm a little smarter psychologically. I think I'm not too whacked out, but I could be. And I now try to transfer my passion to streams of income with the express purpose of selling that business, or selling parts of the business with the express purpose of creating a stream of income that doesn't require my presence. And that is the secret to the current Bob Allen, is that I don't do anything that's not residual. Okay, right now, we're spending an hour on this call, and Joe, people will hear me talk, and they'll say, no, I like what that guy says, and I'm interested in one of the streams of income that he's doing that I can be a part of, you know, and you'll call me on the phone, and you'll say, you know, in addition to what I'm doing with Joe, there may be a stream of income that you and I could be doing together, and that, therefore, that creates for me a residual stream of income. So the point is, even this call, Joe, has got to be residual for me, or I wouldn't have agreed to do it.
Absolutely, and it's residual for me also. And we're canning and cloning ourselves and getting the message out to tons of people. So with saying that, since we only got a couple of minutes left, you know, what's the last words of advice that you would say to people? I think the information that you've given out is excellent. I think if people listen to it, and I think one of the quickest ways to learn is to learn from the experiences of others. And you've you know, shared many of your experiences, and I think the information on this tape could make people millions of dollars if they use it, and it could do nothing for them if they choose not to. So what is the, you know, in the last couple minutes we got left on this tape, well, what would you like to say, and any information you'd like to give out about yourself, and what suggestions they could follow up to further their education about what you've talked about? Go ahead.
I'll tick off seven things really quickly. There really are seven secrets to really prosperous people. First one is, you got to learn how to value money, and I've told you how to do that today by saying that a dollar a day can make you a billionaire if you just invest it right. So quit throwing away those dollars, and then you start valuing them more. Don't let your kids throw money into slot machines, kiddie slot machines, such as video arcade games, without teaching them what the value of that dollar they just threw away was. Because when you destroy a dollar, you destroy the future forest of trees. Because a dollar is a money seed,
right?
A money tree. And every one of you should have a money tree in your backyard. It should be a tree that sprouts $100 bills. When the fruit gets ripe, it should pop open, and the $100 bills should float to the ground, and you should pick them up. You know, and you can hear that sound in your backyard all day long, and all night long. It's a very soothing sound. I promise you, it won't keep you awake at all.
That's funny.
It'll make you sleep very nicely, and you need to establish streams of income that flow to you without you being there. And so, the first thing is, you got to value those dollar bills. The second thing is, you got to learn how to to control the money that flows into your life. You have to have some kind of a system for managing your money, if it's Quicken or something like that, but get on a computer and make sure it's done right and watch every penny. Be like a hawk, every penny, because they're hard to do. The third thing is you learn how to save your money, and I told you that earlier about saving. Don't just save your money by and think you saved it. You have to save it, make sure you get it saved. The fourth thing is you have to learn how to invest your money. We've talked about mutual funds and lots of other ways of doing that. We didn't have much time to talk about that, but I go into all of this stuff, by the way, in my tape series, Multiple Streams of Income Through Nightingale Conan. The fifth thing you need to do is to choose businesses that where you can make the money. And you have to making money is different than investing money. Investing is passive stuff. Making is where you have to put your time and effort into it, and that's what entrepreneurs do. I just tried to point out to you that you need to invest in businesses where you have passion, where you feel it's part of your purpose, and where the streams of income can be residual. And that's just my advice to you. The sixth piece of successful people financially is you have to learn how to protect that money. You have to learn how to, what I call, shield it. And if your business is in your name, get it out of your name. If you have a corporation, that's much better. Don't have a sole proprietorship. I have none of my assets are in my name. People say that I'm a multimillionaire, but I'm not. And you shouldn't be either. Get all your assets out of your name. You shouldn't have your house in your name. Shouldn't have any of your cars in your name. It should be in either trusts or family limited partnerships or corporations. If you're a business person today, you're going to get sued. And when they sue you, they're going to take everything you got. Unless you got a real smart attorney, and then he'll take everything you've got.
Ain't that the truth?
So get everything out of your name. It may take you 5 years to do it, but just make sure that's a piece of advice. And the final thing is you got to learn how to share your money. The first person you need to share your money with is with God, and you need to take 10% of that net profit and sometimes your gross profit and spread that around. Spread around to causes that are important to you. The money will canker your soul if it doesn't. You need to be magnanimous. You'll find wealthy people are penny-pinching to a fault, and yet they give $100 million to their college. Now, how can that be? Well, you take them to lunch, and you end up picking up the tab. And you find out, you know, 3 weeks later, they just gave $1 million to the cancer research center in your city. Well, the reason that they do both, and they're both opposite sides of the same coin, is that they are extraordinarily generous and extremely careful with their money at the same time. It seems like a paradox, but it's not. And you need to start right now to give away parts of your income to people that need it. Don't wait till you've got it, because by the time you amass a huge amount, you won't have the habit of giving. It'll canker your soul. You don't want to do that. You have to be willing to give it as you're growing. Give as you grow. And then you grow faster. If you were God, where would you want to give the money? Where would you want to give the next business idea to? You know, ideas are floating around right now. There are $1 billion ideas floating around right now in the room you're sitting in. And you need to have your mind open enough to receive them. Sometimes that $1 billion idea is given to the person who deserves it. Do you deserve it?
Right.
And that's the last thing I want to say.
Hey, how does anyone further their education with you?
You can always order a copy of Multiple Streams of Income through Nightingale Conan. I think it's $60 or something.
Okay.
Call them in their toll-free number, 1-800-323-5552. If you're trying to reach me personally, you can call me on my voicemail number. It's 1-800-668-7262, and I'll get back to you.
Great.
It's 1-800-668-7262. Let me just finish with a final piece about you, Joe. I have watched your growth when you came to the seminar that was taught here. You talked a big talk then, and very few people walk their talk. They'll come up to me and they'll say, "You watch me. I'm going to be big one of these days." And then I never hear from them again. Joe, I've watched your progress, and I'm astounded by it, stunned by it. And I'll tell you why. Because you've come so far, so fast, that I call you for advice. And as you noticed before we got on this call, I picked your brain for a good half an hour.
Right.
Because you have really come that far. And you're establishing the relationships with people that are amazing. Joe, congratulations. Folks, you need to emulate this guy. You need to emulate what he does, and you need to follow what he tells you to do. From a man who's been there for the last 20 years, Joe is the next big one and just watch his star and make sure you get part of it. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And, you know, one thing I'll follow up with that is, you know, I say that if, you know, if I've seen farther than others, it's because I've stood on the shoulder of giants. And, you know, I appreciate everything that you've helped me with in that process. What I want to say to all the listeners, let me know what you thought of this interview. Let me know what you thought of Bob. Give me a call, 602-858-0008. That's Piranha Marketing Headquarters, or you can always fax us at 602-858-0004. Thanks a lot, Bob. This was an excellent interview. And to all the listeners, listen to his advice. Get a copy of Multiple Streams of Income. It's an excellent tape set and further the education of what Bob was teaching you. And with that, until next time, eat your competition alive. This is Joe Polish. Bye-bye.
If you would like additional information on how to receive more educational tapes designed specifically to improve your profits and productivity, then call the Piranha Support Team and get signed up on the Joe Polish Superstar Audio Tape of the Month. The number is 480-858-0008. Or visit Joe's website at www.tapeofthemonth.com. As Joe Polish would say, eat your competition alive.